And just like that, the clock ticks noon on a Friday, and we are live from the McKibben Media Group World Headquarters in Summit Township. We're brought to you by Knudsen's, your outdoor convenience store. I know I got to head out there in just a little bit. Got to get my spools lined. Got to get my pink ladies for the crappies. We'll be heading out to Knudsen's later on today. Also brought to you by Kettlebell Hotspot, where your functional fitness begins. If you want, come join us tomorrow because we've got 9 o'clock. We've got Saturday circuits. It's a thing. It's fun, and you're going to feel it. We're also brought to you by Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, and Tri-County Water. Ah, that's good water. TriCountyWater.com. Now, you know, I always say Tri-County Water is properly hydrating the show, but today it's Tri-County Water is properly caffeinating the show today because we use Tri-County Water for the caffeine here today. It was an extra cup of coffee kind of morning. I'm not going to lie. We've got a lot coming at you today as we are the pregame show for the pregame show. Tigers broadcast starts at 12:45, so you don't get the full hour. We've got some high school sports we're going to throw at you in a little bit because we've had high school baseball, softball, soccer, and a little bit of track start already with the Wesco rivalry. Oh, man, I love it, between Napoleon and Brooklyn. We also we'll have Tom Knudsen standing by. He's going to be joining us with the Knudsen's Outdoor Report a little bit later on. But right now, we're going to our sports line. And this is a little bit different than what we normally do here. We're going to our sports line, and I'm welcoming in James Daly, my dad, and we're going to talk Tigers baseball. Dad, welcome to the Daly.
It's nice to be here, Mark.
Oh, man, this is fun. This is a treat. This is something. It's this time of year, Dad, every year when Tigers baseball starts. And I've shared stories before with our listening audience, but when Tiger baseball starts, especially when they get to the home opener, I always share a little bit of story about how you would take me and Rob to the ballpark and just kind of, you know, we'd share that experience. But I never really got into the details of it because as a kid, I never really understood how we got those seats. But let's just start here. Let's just start here. Tiger Stadium.
Yes.
We would go, handful of times throughout the summer. Uh-huh. And it was just magical times as a kid. We would always get behind those dugouts, Dad.
Oh, yeah.
How did you make that happen? Because I talked to my buddies, and they're like, boy, we never had that experience. We were in the cheap seats out in the bleachers. How did you make that happen?
Well, we bribed the ushers. What we did was I had a friend here that knew people at Tiger Stadium. And we got directed to certain ushers. And we made it worth the while with them. And then there's two spots we always sat in. One was right in the first row, right next to the dugout. And you could see the players, talk to the players coming in and going. Or we would set, what's right next to that was the player section. And there you would find the players' parents and wives and that kind of thing.
Wow.
So either play, there was great seats. Those were great times.
Those were great times. They were.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I got to tell you, as a kid, I always enjoyed the experience, but as an adult looking back on that, I can tell you, I didn't appreciate it as a kid as much as I do now, looking back on it and having those memories. And, man, that was just a lot of fun. And like I said, it was kind of magical. But it was more than just the ball game. All right. We would go to a lot of Michigan games. We went to a lot of Michigan football games. But, uh-huh. You know, that experience is we'd show up. We usually get there. You know, you never showed up anywhere with a ticket. You're always scalping them, for one. Two, you can't do that anymore. But two, at Michigan games, we're getting there like right at kickoff. For the Lions, we're getting there right at kickoff.
Uh-huh.
For the Tigers, we always got there early. Unless I'm remembering that wrong, we always got there early just so we could, you know, watch batting practice and just kind of take the whole thing in.
Right. Well, We would get there, you know, whenever we wanted to get there, and I can't remember now what time we would get there, but then we used to make those side trips after the game.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, we'd go to Lafayette, Coney Island, went to the Malice Green Memorial. Mm-hmm. Were you with us the time we went down to Young Boys Incorporated, watched them selling dope on the open on the city streets of Detroit?
No, I don't. That I don't remember. I don't remember.
Well, Rob was there for that one.
Yeah, my older brother Rob, he was there for that one. No, I do remember the trips to the Coney Island and how they would take the, because I was always ordering chocolate milk, and they would just take that and they would do like the long pour all the way down to the floor with that. But
yeah,
well, to the games at Tiger Stadium, I remember there was a time, and I hope I still have this glove saved somewhere in storage, but I had on this one glove that I used for Little League. Sparky Anderson signed it. And oh gosh, who was the manager for the Yankees, Dad? Billy Martin. We got to see Billy Martin and that big, you know, mustache that he had. But I mean, it was more than that. We got to see a lot of the players that were part of that 84 World Series team too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Those were good times to be a Tiger fan back then. Those were, and it was always a good time at Tiger Stadium to see a ball game back then. Matter of fact, I liked Tiger Stadium a whole lot better than I do Comerica Park. There isn't any comparison. Tiger Stadium had obstructed views, it had everything. Comerica Park's just kind of a sterile plastic environment. I don't care for Comerica Park at all.
It doesn't have, even though it's been around for a while now at this point, it doesn't have the nostalgia. And I think a lot of that is just, you know, for you and I and for a lot of people, the memories that are tied to it, not only going to the game, but Ernie Harwell. I don't remember a game, Dad, where you wouldn't take your little radio and we're listening to Ernie Harwell while we were watching the game.
Oh, yeah. And on your baseball glove, I know one of the signatures you got. Remember Herbie the Groundskeeper?
Oh, yes.
The most famous groundskeeper in America. Yes. You guys used to talk to him on a regular basis.
Oh, that's great. I totally forgot about that. That's right. Because he's the one that was dancing during the seventh inning stretch.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. I did.
Yeah, he was a great guy.
So, all right. Because I know you're not really from the Detroit area. You were from up by the Flint. You're up by you're from Lapeer is where you grew up.
Right.
And I don't really, you're the only one, if I know this correctly, from your family who really kind of fell in love and really got to know the Detroit area as well as you did. What was it about Detroit that kind of attracted you to it?
Well, you know, I'd left Lapeer.
Yeah.
Frankly, when I left Lapeer, I just graduated from high school, and then I went to college in Detroit, went to law school at the University of Detroit. So I became pretty familiar with Detroit. Matter of fact, I was in Detroit in 1967, the day the riot started. I was working for the Detroit News at the time, but we had two different colored trucks, the red news trucks or vehicles, and the black ones were for advertising, marketing, that kind of thing. And I had a black car, but they used my car that night because they didn't want to use the red cars. And my car got shot up in the riot. I wasn't in it. I wasn't even there.
Wow.
But I'd worked the day it started. I was working for the Detroit News at that time.
Yeah. So when was it you started going to Tigers games then?
I went to Tiger games even when I was in Lapeer.
Okay.
My grandfather and then my father would take me down at least once a year. We'd go into Tiger Stadium. That'd be the biggest day of the year was for me.
Yeah.
Making that trip from Lapeer into Detroit. And back then, that's the only time I would get to Detroit.
Yeah.
Because back then, nobody from Lapeer spend any time going into Detroit.
Yeah. So when you went as a kid then, who are some of those players that you remember seeing play? Who are some of the ones that stood out for you?
Oh, I saw, well, you know, I saw Ted Williams. For sure, he was a biggie to see. And then all of the old Tiger stars, Frank Larry, that whole bunch from then, Hank Aguirre, which was later on. All of the big stars from back then, the one that I remember most was Ted Williams.
Yeah.
But in that same era, there was a lot of others. This, you know, Ted Williams, obviously, was there until Carl Yastrzemski took over after Ted Williams retired.
Yeah.
But, I had an opportunity to see all of those players back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Matter of fact, Billy Martin, the one year that we were down to the games, there was a bar in town then called the Lindell AC. And Billy Martin got in a fight over to Lindell AC and broke somebody's jaw.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah, he was always kind of a, I don't know, he was a, I think what we would put it now is a personality.
Oh, always, that would have been
an
understatement.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I know, we'd show up with our glove, we'd go to the games, we'd hang out early, watch batting practice, get the autographs, the ones that I remember. And it was always a really good time. And
they would go to American Coney Island or Lafayette Coney Island.
And I was like, whichever one was trying to wave us in the most. It's kind of like, you know, because they both were the same. We'd end up just going. But yeah, I want to thank you, Dad, for taking us to those games. I mean, they're memories that have stuck with me. Good, fun memories that stuck with me. With just me, my brother, and my dad having fun at the ballpark. And I want to thank you for that. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And thank you for being a good dad.
Were you with us tonight? I know Rob went when we went to the American Communist Party convention when Angela Davis was speaking there.
No, I don't think I was with you that night, Dad. No.
Rob went. But
yeah, Rob went to that one. Was there a Tigers game involved with that night?
What's that?
Was there a Tigers game involved that night?
I don't know.
No.
But, no. You know, we used to go down to Detroit for a lot of other things.
Yeah.
And we would see a lot of other things in Detroit, too.
Right.
But you never liked Detroit as much as Rob did.
No. No.
I mean,
I think it's fair to say I like to go, and I still like to go to Comerica Park. Most recently when I've gone to Comerica Park, it's been part of Kathy Schmaltz, one of our state reps. She organizes a thing called a Grand Slam for Kids. And so I've volunteered with that, and I've helped take some mentors with their littles up to Comerica Park. I've done that the last handful of times, and that's always a lot of fun. But no, I don't. Yeah, I've been to the auto show a few times, but most of the time when I've been to Detroit, it's been with you. I very rarely will Jen and I ever go by ourselves or, you know, for something in Detroit. It's usually been with you or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people that just don't want to mess with Detroit. Now, I can understand that Detroit's difficult to get around in, but my personal opinion is, Detroit's one of the great cities in America. And I know everybody's sitting out there holding the nose right now and not believing that's true.
Yeah.
But Detroit is a city that has character and has tradition. And it went through a big period of decline like a lot of big cities do. But it's recovering well, and crime is down now. The railroads are running on time down there. Detroit's really an underrated city.
I do love our Detroit teams, and all of them except for the Wings right now, all of them seem to be humming pretty well. So
yeah,
it's a good time to be a fan.
There's only one way the Wings are going to get any better.
Exactly.
They're going to have to fire Yzerman. They won't do it.
Okay.
You know, when he went into Tampa Bay, everybody says, he was a great GM. Well, he inherited a good team there. when he came to Detroit, he's got what he got, and he hasn't improved it at all. I don't think they've made the The Wings haven't made the playoff in 8 years.
It's been a hot minute. They were closer last year than they were this year, but it's at least they're close to being relevant at the end of the season, which you couldn't say that 5 years ago.
They still don't make the playoffs.
It's going to be real hard for them to make it this year. It's going to be real hard.
It is every year. They just can't put it together.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that falls on Illich or not, but the Wings have truly became a stagnant hockey team.
Yeah. Well, they kind of are. You got to put them in that bucket now. I think it's going to be rare, really, for any city to see all of their teams rolling at the same time. But you know, it's nice. It's nice to have the Lions. We went through a generation of Lions being horrific, and it's nice to have them in that spot that they are right now.
It is, but you know, the problem with the Lions is, and you can say this about everybody, but the Lions are always losing the last game of their season, at least they have for the last 2 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, when it comes to getting over the hump, the Lions quite haven't been getting it done. I know they got a good record. I know all this other stuff. But when we lost to Washington last year, you know, we've never beat Washington in a playoff game.
Yeah. Well, what you're saying is when we're losing in those playoff games, we're losing in the fashion of the same old Lions. It's not like it's a competitive game. We're losing like we're used to watching our team lose.
Right.
Yeah, that's what you mean.
But in the Washington game last year, the Lions were terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was bad. That was certainly not good. But
there's a opinion out there that the best football coach in the NFL is Dan Campbell, and I think he probably is.
I think what it is with Campbell is what he brings to the locker room, which is something that's been absent from that organization forever. The attitude and the desire to not necessarily be the best, but to work the hardest is what he brings to the locker room, and that's been void in Detroit Lions football for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the last good coach the Lions had before Campbell was really Wayne Fonts.
Mm.
And if you can recall, his nickname was Cocaine Wayne, but he did a pretty good job. He took us all the way to the NFC Finals one year. We lost to Dallas in the Division Finals.
I thought we lost to Washington.
I don't know. You're right.
Yeah.
That's right. We lost to Washington.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's circle back to the Tigers here, Dan. Better, I feel like they're going to be a little bit better than they were last year. I'm putting 90 wins on the Tiger season this year. What do you think?
I think you're being pretty optimistic.
I said last season they were going to be the AL Central champions. I was a little off on that, but I'm saying 90 wins this year. What do you think?
The biggest thing the Lions have got, or that Lions,
Tigers,
the Tigers have got going for them this year, and the best way they get better is if they trade Scooble.
Oh, wow.
You know, Scooble after this year only has one more year left. And then he's a free agent. They'll get nothing for him. You can't then. And, you know, Scooble wants like $40 million a year.
Hmm.
And right now he's got an earned run average of over five.
Yeah, his first two starts haven't been stellar.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. So,
and
teams still want Scooble, and I think the Tigers should take advantage of it and let him go, because he's going to go.
Do the Tigers take this series with the White Sox this weekend?
They should.
They absolutely should. All right, Dan. Hey, I'm running out of time. I got to get to Tom Knutson here. But as like I said earlier, I wanted to thank you for taking us to all the Tigers games. Thank you for being a great dad. And those are just memories that I carry with me forever. And like I said earlier, they mean more now. And I just look back at them and reflect on them, and I do appreciate it. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Mark, and I appreciate that. But I'll tell you what, the older you get, the more important those memories from the past become.
Yeah.
Trust me on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Dad. Hopefully okay. We'll get together this weekend. I'll see you soon, okay?
All right. Shout out to you later.
Bye. There it is. 12:21, Tom Knutson standing by. The Knutson's Outdoor Report on the way. You're listening to The Daily on Jackson's Fox Sports, 101.9 FM. As it's time for the Knutson's Outdoor Report, we welcome back to the program Tom Knutson. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Man, I'm doing so well. It looks nice and sunny outside, and I've got the spools in my truck waiting to get them relined at Knutson. So, yeah, life is good, Tom. Life is good.
Well, you better get that done, Mark.
I know. I pulled all the old line off last weekend, so I'm planning on heading out there this afternoon to get those all spooled up. Looking forward to it. And Tom, I'm eyeballing the dock. I'm like, you know, that's a little bit of work, but it's worth it. I'm looking forward probably next couple weeks to getting the dock in the water.
Well, there are people who have already got theirs in. We've started to sell dock equipment, and we're fully loaded. Parts, we got a fresh big supply of parts yesterday, so all of the pieces, parts are filled up. Mud plates and cross arm clamps and anything you're going to need to get that dock in.
Yeah,
we're ready to roll. I even seen some waders go in. Paul had some waders on in the delivery room. So
right, yeah,
stuff's starting to roll in, and the store is starting to, you know, it's starting to take shape. It takes a little bit always, but after we finish a decent ice fishing run, but it's looking more and more full every day.
Yeah, well, let's start with the waders, because I got to tell you, Tom, I used to tough it out. I would have a bonfire down there, you know, burning up wood pallets to stay warm while I'm putting in the dock. I can't tell you how much waders changed my life, Tom.
Well, if I was your neighbor,
yeah,
I would have video of that.
I'm sure, but no, it makes it a lot easier, a lot more comfortable, and honestly, you get more done when you have the waders. So yeah, start
absolutely
with the waders.
Yeah. Dunk, and it's done correctly.
Yeah, and you're right. Yep. It's done correctly. You don't have to go back and do the redos and everything. Yeah, it's done correctly.
Exactly.
And the pieces, parts, because I look at it every year, and I'm thinking, boy, I can make it a little bit longer, or maybe I could put in maybe another little platform here, or, you know, this is wearing old. I need to get replacements here. Every year, there's a little something that needs to get done, and it's nice to know that you got the pieces, parts, for when you want to make improvements or just additions to the dock, Tom.
Absolutely. And, yeah, we carry a large supply of it on hand, so no, you don't have to special order it, especially on the poles.
Yeah.
Poles and clamps and stringer brackets and nuts and bolts and bumpers and all that type of stuff. You know, it's here. It's ready to go. And, very rarely do we run out of much. I mean, every once in a while you run out of an obscure part that somebody may need a quantity of it. Go, wow, hadn't sold that many of them in a while, but that, you know, we solve those problems as they come.
Right. Hey, Tom, how's fishing going locally here in Jackson?
It's been kind of a rough week because of the weather.
Right.
Not necessarily what I would expect to see for this time of year. We got to get a couple warm days in here, start getting that water warmed up a little bit. I know we went backwards with the amount of water that we put in over the last week. I mean, there was a lot of gallons of water pushed through our systems around here. And hopefully, obviously, you know, we were way down on, last fall, because we had conversations with people didn't know what to do with their boats because their boats were stuck on lifts, and in the fall that the water went down, we didn't get any rain, and they were struggling to get boats off a list because they couldn't get deep enough draft in the water. So I guarantee you we're going to be okay on that to start with. The rivers are flowing pretty steadily, and you know, some over their banks, but they'll flush out, and we will get rolling here. Like I say, I think the next warm spell is going to be very, very influential on fishing all the way around.
Now, before the rains hit, you and I were talking about it. We even had people calling into the show telling us how they're having success with the crappies in the area. We've got a little bit of rain coming in and out, but do you feel like this will be a good weekend for that, or is it?
I think there will be some people who would who will adventure to do some of that stuff, but I think that there's a, I think there's a few that are going to, it's just not a clear enough path for people, even like lake people who come up to start work on their on the house, the outside stuff. They're going to look at it and say, "Yeah, we're going to skip this weekend because of the the projected weather." So
well, Sunday looks like it's supposed to be, not 50s, but decent Sunday.
Yeah, let's just keep our fingers crossed. We get through this little cycle, and this comes every year, Those tornadoes that show up in the south, that's normal. That's why it's called Tornado Alley, and it happens. I know this one was a little more extreme, and this last week. And let's just hope that tomorrow's isn't near as frightful as what they had down there last week.
Yeah, no kidding. So yeah, with the warm up then coming through, once we get that past us. Hopefully get back out on the water and have some fun. What's going on with, I don't know, if people have to travel a little bit, do we have any news on what's going on in the Detroit River or in other parts of the state?
Well, the Mackinac Bridge is back open.
That's true, yep.
So from all that ice and them poor people up there in that scenario, I mean, we went through something similar. I can't imagine if we would have had the amount of ice that they had, two, 3 years ago, and we had the big ice storm.
Yeah,
what we would have been like, and what kind of damage would have been done. I feel so sorry for them to have to deal with that. That's going to be a year's worth of work up there to, for people to clean up after that. I've seen people's cottages and cabins, and seen how much work is going to be done to clean all that up. And we went through something similar, like 3 years ago, and it took a lot of trees and time and effort to get cleaned up. Some people are still cleaning up trees, from that situation. So I feel real bad for them. Hopefully that some of them people, can get that stuff cleaned up and start getting to normal. I'm going to bet some of the golf courses up there in Gaylord are going to look like the bomb went through there, but yeah, you can go north. Go get across that bridge, and from what I understand, there's still ice up there.
Okay.
Northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin. If you're feeling like you need to do a little ice fishing, there's still some opportunity there.
Right, yeah. Well, I remember what it was like after that ice storm we had a couple years ago. Just trying to get to work, Tom. You go down one road, it was blocked off. You go back your alternate route, that was blocked off. Then you try to find another router. GPS wasn't helping you at all either because it didn't know the trees were down covering the roads. And with that said, I can't even imagine hearing how much ice they had up there and seeing those videos of those pine trees just bending over and snapping. Yeah. I can't imagine what they were going through up there.
And I mean, I remember stepping out, in our... during that night when that was happening, and just listening to tree after tree after snap, and then to listen to people would step outside and put it on their phone and post it and listen to it, and it was identical. I said, we know what you're going through, but the problem was they had way more ice than what we had, so it's even more damaging than what it's gonna. It's gonna not look the same when you go up this fall or this summer. That's for sure. When you go through the UP, there's the central part up there. It's gonna be ugly.
We had a tree that a lot of it hung over our house when we were going through that ice storm. It sounded catastrophic when limbs would fall off, hit our roof, and you could hear them rolling down the side. It was really scary. That tree doesn't exist anymore. We took that thing down the following summer. But yeah, it was really scary, but. What about some of the other areas of the state? Are we hearing anything from Lake Michigan, anything from Lake Erie, anything on
Walleye?
Yeah,
I think they're doing pretty good on the pier in Benton Harbor.
Okay.
So that's normal this time of year. Lake Detroit River is going to be a little tough now for a little bit. That's a lot of water they got put into that system, and it's going to kind of mess with the walleye run, I feel.
Okay.
I'm sure the same thing with down to Maumee. I'm sure there's not as many guys going down there because that water's high and fast. A little dangerous to be in some of that water right now in the Maumee. So it's just going to have to be a wait and see. I'm going to guess that there'll be people, when it calms down out on Erie, under the reefs, where they can, you know, get some of them spawning walleye out there. But need a little help with wind and weather. And
yeah.
It's all going to come. It will happen. That's for sure.
It's been really windy lately too. I mean, with all the systems, you know, the hot, the warm systems, the cold systems, kind of battling each other. We're in that time of year, but it's been really windy around here lately.
Well, March is always like that. Sometimes it's in like a lion and out like a lamb. this year it was in like a lion and out like a lion. It stayed pretty windy all the way through. There was very little quiet time in March, but it's all good. I mean, you know, it's what Mother Nature does.
And you talked about the store kind of doing the switch over and getting really getting ready for spring and summer. I talked about coming out, getting my spools all lined up, which is a service you guys provide. Also, get out there and get your fishing licenses now, because if you had them, they expired in March. Now you got to get them again.
Yep, they're due now. Mm-hmm. So, yep, if you're sitting on your old license, you're going to need a new one the next time you go out. And the store, like I said, it's starting to come around.
Mm-hmm.
Every day stuff goes over there fresh. So, and that will be like that all the way till July, because it takes that long to get everything. You know, we don't quit, you know, at Memorial Day and ride what we got in. We just keep pouring to it, and that's why, you know, that place is always so full, and we're getting in. I know the crappie stuff is in, looking real good. I know Daiwa's starting to roll in, and Lou's and Zebco, those reels and combos are going to be up here shortly, and the boating aisles, it's going to be absolutely stuffed by the time they get that all up. That stuff sitting on, I got pallets of stuff that we're working on getting out. So
nice.
It's coming. Yeah, and could use a couple more bodies if anybody wants to apply for a part time job. We got a few open at the moment. So as far as that goes, I'm taking applications for that.
All right, very good.
And for the bait room too.
Okay.
We're doing that. I'm starting to put the summer crew together for the bait room. Great first job, really decent hours for those that want to work in the bait room. Get your hands dirty a little bit, but it's a lot of fun. A lot of the kids who enjoy it really enjoy it.
That's kids need to get dirty, Tom. You end up being a better person as an adult if you got dirty as a kid.
I would think so.
All right. So Knudsen's, Wampler's Lake Road in beautiful Brooklyn. What are your hours again, Tom?
Monday through Saturday, 7. I do that every time. 8 to 7.
8 to 7.
Monday through Saturday. And Sundays Sundays are 8 to 5.
Okay. All right, Tom. Well, if I'm able to make it out there this afternoon, I'll see if you're around. All right?
All right, Mark.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Tom.
Talk soon.
Tom Knudsen joining us. It's the Knudsen's Outdoor Report on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Wow, 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 wow. Man, what a day. What a day. That was fun. At 12:37 and a half, you're listening to The Daily on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM live via the McKibben Media Group World Headquarters, and we're brought to you by Knudsen's, your outdoor convenience store, kettlebell hot spot where your functional fitness begins, Bud Light McUltra, and Tri-County Water. Ah, that's good water. TriCountyWater.com, because you need peace of mind about what's really in your water. We are just a few minutes away from the Detroit Tigers home opener. Broadcast is going to hit just under 6 minutes from right now. While we're waiting for that, high school baseball, high school softball from yesterday, and games on the schedule. We don't have time to hit that. You want it all? Go to our website, foxsports1019.com. Baseball, high school baseball results from yesterday. Concord defeated East Jackson in game one of their doubleheader, 1-0. East Jackson got the win in game two, 3-2. Cascades Conference, Columbia beat Blissfield 8-0 in the first game. Blissfield beat Columbia in the second half of their doubleheader 8-4. Leslie beat Anderson in game one 10-0. Anderson on top of Leslie in game two 12-2. Onsted took Napoleon in both games in high school baseball 8-1 in game one, 5-0 in game two. Let's move on from the Cascades. Let's go to Catholic High School League, where Lumen beat Chelsea yesterday 4-2. In the I-8, nothing on the schedule from yesterday. They got a few games happening today and tomorrow, too. Again, foxsports1019.com. Let's move on to softball, where it was East Jackson defeating Concord 7-6 in game one and in game two 9-7. On to the Cascades Conference. Napoleon had a dub against Onsted. Napoleon softball. Josh Burgett, season one with Napoleon Pirates softball, gets the win over Onsted. 6-0 in game one, 16-14 in game two. And you want details on that? There is a thorough detail listed on our website, foxsports1019.com. Elsewhere in high school softball, Coldwater defeated Bronson 11-1. And that's it from high school softball and high school baseball. On to girls soccer. Cascades Conference. Quincy got on top of Grass Lake 5-2 yesterday. Again, Cascades Conference soccer. Quincy beats Grass Lake 5-2. Columbia gets the winner of Tecumseh 3-1. And in the I-8, it was Coldwater defeating Waverly 2-0. White in the SEC, White. Monroe beating Adrian 5-2. And Columbia getting the win over Tecumseh 3-2. Independence, Jackson Christian 4, Bronson 0. And Clarkston Everest Collegiate getting the win over Lumen 5-1. Results yesterday in high school soccer. Napoleon and Columbia in high school track, it feels like their first meeting every year is the Wesco rivalry just down the road from each other, with Wesco right in the middle. And results yesterday, let's look at the team results yesterday, team scores. For the boys, it was Columbia getting the win 77-58. And for the girls, Napoleon just totally ran away with it. Literally 109-13 for the final there. Official results for the team. Let's just take a quick look-see at it. Brooklyn in the men's winning the 100, and they took first and third in the 100. Napoleon coming in second there. On to the 200. Brooklyn winning the 200, Napoleon with Luke Ellison, Kirk Stage, and Jaden Service of Napoleon going 2-3. In the 400, Brooklyn won that one. Columbia won that one with Trent Troyer at 54-7. Napoleon's Jameson Swope, second place, 57-7. And Columbia's Kayvon DeBoer at 59-66, coming in third. The 800, it was 1-2 for Columbia, 2-10 and 2-13 for David Monroe and Wyatt Vowell. And the mile, in the 1600, it was 1-2 for Columbia, Clint Couchman and Nate Ostrowski. In the 3200, it was Clint Couchman and Nate Ostrowski, again for Columbia. And the hurdles, my race! And it was Kirk Stage for Napoleon, running the 110 at 16:38. Zach Johnson for Columbia won the 300 at 46:18. Wow, that is cooking. For the girls, winning the 100 was Lily Egan for Napoleon at 13:05, and Nevada Gundrum from Napoleon came in second at 14:05. So 13:05 and 14:05. 200, Napoleon swept it. Macy Straub, Lydia Warner, and Nevada Gundrum went 1, 2, 3 in the 200 for Napoleon. Gracie Tallman took the 400 for Napoleon at 109.92. And Napoleon swept the 800. Mackenzie Lindman, Lauren McLean, Emma Berry, 306.7, 306.9, 313.11. It's two of the hardest races in track, the 400 and the 800. I promise you. I promise you. But anyway, Napoleon goes on and literally runs away with it and gets the win. Jets baseball, they lost their doubleheader yesterday at Henry Ford College, 3-2 to game one, 6-5 in game two. They face Henry Ford College again Saturday in another doubleheader. This time, instead of being on the road, they're hosting Henry Ford College. Hey, that's going to do it for us. That's going to do it for the week. We're back with you Monday at noon. Between now and then, stay safe. We'll see you soon. Tigers baseball next.